Lord, I just ask that you just bless Andy now as he just opens a word to us and reveals your heart to us. Give him peace, clarity, and joy. Amen.
Amen. Jen, thank you. That's really awesome. That's really profound. Not nearly as profound as this little video that we're going to show right now, but I just want to get the kids' attention. So just show a little bit of this.
You didn't even want me around. And now I'm back to let you know I can really shake them down. Do you love me?
Get the idea. Oh, no fade. Wow, just stop. Okay, awesome. Well, that's what we're talking about this morning. Do you love me? That's our verse. And now that I have all your attention, I'm just going to change this. You like that? Yeah? Do you love me? Jesus asked that 3 times, and we're going to look at that this morning in our scripture passage. Everybody have a crossword? There's crossword puzzles? Does anybody need a crossword puzzle? Maybe some ushers who has them. I think there's a pile, right, Lil? Is there still a pile? If you need a crossword puzzle, you can put your hand up. This is just to help keep you engaged. All the answers are in what I say and in the Bible too. Yeah. because everything that I say lines up with the Bible. That's what we're hoping for. But in John chapter 21, which you can turn there as well. And kids are going to want to watch the screen. Just giving you a heads up. So we're going to try to do that. We're going to try to have crossword puzzles for all throughout the summer when there's no kids programming. So you can sit there. It's okay. You can whisper along with your kids, or if you want to do one too, if you're an adult and listening to this, you can totally have a crossword puzzle. We printed lots up, so it's fun. Good, but we're going to read together John chapter 21 for about 20 verses, and in this whole passage kind of encompasses partly what Doug talked about in his video, which was awesome. Thanks, Doug. And partly also what Jan just shared, the feed my sheep part of it. And so there's this whole big picture that's going on here. And so I want to read the whole thing so we get the full idea of what's going on. So John chapter 21, starting in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. Ding, 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 there's answer number one. Tiberias, also known as another sea. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we will go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came with the boat, dragging in the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread, gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished breakfast, this is the part that we're really going to zone in on this morning. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." And a second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." You can read on in the story. There's another neat little part, but we're going to stop there. Do you love me? Jesus had already appeared a few times after his resurrection. This is the third time this story, this episode says that he had appeared. There's a few others as well, but this is the third time that he appears as a group. And we read about in Luke 24 where Simon Peter has another personal, some kind of a personal encounter with the Lord. But this is the third time that they've all gotten together. And they had just found out that Jesus was risen. That's how he appeared to them, and he said, I'm here. But the Jewish leaders were still after them. They were still really afraid. Remember one of the first times when it says they were in an upper room and they had locked the doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, and Jesus just appeared to them in the room, right? So the leaders were still out to get them, but there's this kind of growing sense that, what is this? What's going on? Jesus is alive. Like, he came back from the dead. He was resurrected. Something happened. But they weren't safe still. And perhaps that's why Jesus said, "Go to Galilee." It's a little bit quieter, you know. Just go to Galilee and just wait for me there. Safer and quieter. But imagine the mix of emotions that would have been going on, right? So remember, just a few stories earlier, they find themselves in the garden, and Jesus is betrayed, and there's this whole series of events that happen, and he's dead. Their leader, their Lord, their friend that they had spent so much time with over the last 3 years, he's dead. But then they find out that the tomb is empty. What is this? It's like from the very bottom, the depths, to like, I don't think actually that when they found out that the tomb was empty that they were just on high. I think it was just like this big, huge question mark. Like, what the heck is going on? I'm confused, disoriented. But he's alive, but we're still in danger. These people, these leaders who killed Jesus, they want to get us too. They want to scatter us. Confusion, disorientation, fear. They're still in danger. What's going on? None of it is making any sense. None of it's making any sense. And they even say there, what we read in verse 12, it says, none of them dared to ask, who are you? They didn't even dare to ask. It's a big, fat question mark. A mix of emotions. What's going on? And then Peter, who we're talking about, Peter, we're going through his life. He in particular has something to remember, doesn't he? We talked about it a few weeks ago. Peter remembers that night, right? Before Jesus was executed. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Kids? Three times he denied Jesus. But before that, there was this promise of fidelity, right? Peter was like, though everybody else is going to deny you, though everybody else, I will what? Never deny you. I am going to stick by your side, Jesus. I am there to the end, even though everybody else even dies. I'm going to stick with you, right? And then absolute, utter denial. Not just once, not just twice, three times he denied Jesus. And what happens? The cock crows, and what happens? What does it say? Do you remember? He goes out and what is it? He wept. How did he weep? Bitterly. It's grief. He is churning. It's awful. Heart-wrenching. Denied him three times. Perhaps Jesus' own words from Matthew chapter 10 are echoing in his ears after this and for the weeks after, where it says, everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Can you imagine Peter remembering those words after he had done this? Big, fat question mark. What's going to happen? I have no idea. I don't know what's going on. I think kind of, and then of course there's this dawning awareness to add to the mixture of emotions, this dawning awareness of the resurrection. Could it be true? Could it be true that what has happened here? But I denied him. And he said that whoever denies me, I will deny. Oh my goodness, what's going on? I don't know how it's all going to turn out. I think that he was stunned by this mixture of emotions. I think he was numbed out. I think he was in a kind of, one commentator says, a perceptual fog. And he was wandering in a state of unawareness. And what does he do? He says, I'm going fishing. I'm just going to go to what I know. I'm going fishing. And Jesus comes and meets them in this place. And he provides miraculously. He highlights, actually, the disciples' own poverty and helplessness, right? How many fish did they catch all night? How many fish? Zero all night. All night before, they caught zero, right? Zero fish. Every instance of the disciples fishing all through the Gospels, guess how many fish they catch on their own? Zero. These guys, some of them, were professional fishermen. Every single time that they go fishing in the New Testament, they come up with a big, like when I go fishing, right, Lex? We catch nothing. Zero. Maybe a little floppy thing, you know. Zero. It's highlighting their own poverty in and of themselves. They're helpless. They can't do anything without Jesus, without him flowing through them. And so Jesus comes. They have breakfast together. Peter doesn't know what's going on. He's in this stunned state, this foggy kind of numbness. And Jesus asks him one question three times. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he says, yes, Lord, I know, you know I love you. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And how does Peter feel after the third time? What does it say? It's also in your crossword. Peter felt hurt or grieved. He was pained. There's a little bit of a glimmer of emotion there. There's a little glimmer of something of his heart that comes finally. After the third time, he says, do you love me? And Peter was grieved. He was hurt. And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. So it's clear here that Peter's being reinstated. Three times denied, three questions. We're not really going to talk about that. But what is Jesus doing? What is he getting at? Why does he have to ask Peter three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Well, there's two different words for love that are being used here. I don't want to make a huge deal of this, but it's important to understand. Because actually, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? Or agapeo. But do you agape me? And Peter replies, yes, Lord, you know I phileo you. Two different words. They mean love, but they're two different words. And then Jesus says again, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? Yes, Lord, you know I phileo you. The third time, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? So he uses a different word there. You following? The third time, Jesus says, do you phileo me? And then Peter says, yes, Lord, I phileo you. You know I phileo you. Different words. Jesus is giving Peter, or he's testing him. He's giving him an opportunity to boast. He's giving him an opportunity to boast, to declare with kind of the reckless passion that Peter had been used to, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Even though everybody else, all these other guys here, even though they'll fail, I'm going to stick with you. Jesus is giving him an opportunity to do what he had always done before. He's testing his heart. He's checking him. What's going on here? He's trying to get underneath. Because Peter had previously boasted that all these others would fall away. It's recorded in all four Gospels. And that he would not. And so Jesus asks the first question. Do you love me more than these? More than these. What does these refer to? Who are the these, or what is the these? Do you love me more than these? If it's about the net and the boat, do you love me more than the fishing that you've just been doing? Do you love me more than the tools of your trade? Do you love me more than the provision that you've gotten? Then this kind of gets at the central question of discipleship, doesn't it, for us all? What are the things? What are the things? What is the stuff? What are the ideas that come between us and our love for Jesus? What are those things? Have we abandoned all to follow Jesus? Every time, every single time that we're faced with a temptation, this question is being asked of us. Do you love me more than that? That's the question Jesus is asking us. Every time we're faced with a temptation, do you love me more than that? Do you love me more than these? And so I think that's a question that's being asked of us all the time, actually. But I think in this particular situation, Jesus is asking it, the these for Peter are all the disciples that were with him. Do you love me more than these? Because Peter had said, Even though all these others will deny you, I never will. And so he's saying, okay, how about now? How about now? Do you love me more than these? And Jesus gets to the root of Peter's problem. He gets to the heart of the matter. He cuts through all the surface stuff, and he gets right down to the heart. And what's the heart of it? Peter's pride. He cuts right through and cuts to the heart of Peter's pride. Peter, this time, wasn't boastful when Jesus gave him the opportunity. And so he says, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. He doesn't overdo it this time. He doesn't kind of, you know, rip off his shirt like Cristiano Ronaldo and say, woohoo, look at me, you know. I'm the guy. He goes, no, yes, Lord. You know I love you. He wasn't boastful. He was humble. He's reflected. Perhaps he's numb. But in any case, Peter is just careful not to proclaim a deep, unconditional love for God, for Jesus. And that's what the agape and the phileo. There's two different forms there I mentioned. He doesn't claim to truly love God like God loves. He only claims to phileo, like humans love. God's love, and there's some questions about the distinction between those two things. It's not that agape is God only ever agapes and humans only ever phileo, because it's God actually phileos. Also, there's instances of that in Scripture, and also the word agape is used negatively as well. So it's not just like God's love and human love, but there's like strong true love and love. You know what I mean? So like, I could say, Derek, I love you, man. It's like phileo, right? I love you. Love you, brother. But I look at my wife and I go, I love you. I love you, you know? Like a really, truly love. It's like there's differences there. And that's kind of what's going on. Jesus says, do you agape me? Do you really love me? Do you truly love me? With the kind of love that God loves? And Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I phileo you. It's still a good love. It's still love. But it's not as unconditional, and it's not as strong, and it's not as, you know, all-encompassing. And so finally, on the third question, Jesus says to Peter, do you even phileo me? Do you even love me? And Peter's hurt. Why does he ask three times? Is Jesus just trying to make him cry? Is he like one of those guys, you know, just trying to generate the tears? One of those guys? I remember being up on top of this mountain. Oh, no, not that mountain. Where'd it go? There, that mountain. That's Volcán de Agua. Has anybody ever gone up there? It's in Guatemala. Have you? No, you were south. You know what? If we ask this when all the CMU or out-of-towners are here, half of them will have been up there. But it's in Guatemala, 3,700 feet or something. And actually, Becky and I, we went up together with our whole team. And we were climbing up this thing. It's rainforest. It's like really foggy. And it's just like you can't see anything. You can't see beyond 100 meters from you, you know. And it's just, but we're climbing, and you can feel the air changing, and it's going higher and higher. And we can't see the top, but we can't see back down where we came. We're just kind of in this fog. And we get to the top and look down into the crater, and it's really cool. And we're standing up on the rim of the equator. And I remember somehow I had gone off by myself. And actually, it was the first time I ever publicly, but not really public, but like outside of myself, acknowledged that I was really starting to like that lady over there. And so I carved into the rock AW plus BP, Becky Peters, and with the heart around it. I know, it's totally cheesy. But anyways, when I did that, and I don't think it had any connection actually, it was as if someone blew on the mountain and the fog, the clouds, just opened up. Just like in this little, maybe it was actually that, but anyways, it just opened up, and all of a sudden, I could see down this, the plains down, like you can see how beautiful it is, but you could see down the lush, gorgeous valleys and the plains, like 3,500 feet difference from the top down to the plains. It's a long ways, 3.5 kilometers elevation. And it was just as if someone, like, it was as if God just blew the clouds away and finally you could see. And that's the picture that Jesus is doing with Peter. He's wandering around stunned. He's numb. He's not in touch with where he's at. He's just walking around, doing what he knows to do, but not really sure what's going on. And Jesus comes, and he speaks these questions, and he gets to the heart of the issue. It's as if Jesus blows the clouds away. And finally, there's some kind of reaction from Peter, and he's hurt. He's hurt. But he can begin to see now. But it's a painful thing. This is what St. John of the Ladder calls joy-producing sorrow. Joy-producing sorrow. There's no mention of any kind of emotional response until the third time that Jesus asks this question. It's this kind of repentance that enables one to experience the Father's love. It just kind of blows away all the other stuff. It clears it away. And that's what Jesus is doing. And that's his question to us this morning. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these? He'll keep asking until there's some kind of clarity, until the cobwebs of our heart and the things that separate us and keep us from experiencing his love are blown away, swept out, cleaned away, until we can become honest with ourselves. Amen? Peter moved from a state of kind of being unconscious to becoming fully aware. Jesus persisted in his line of questioning until Peter became awake, until he woke up. Some of us are sleeping this morning. Some of us are kind of wandering around like Peter. You know, we're just in this fog. And Jesus is asking us. He wants to blow on us and to clear away that fog. He wants to bring some clarity. Help us to be real with ourselves and real with him. And the third time Peter comes to his senses, just like the third time when the rooster crowed, it brought him to his senses. Same thing. Third time, brought him to his senses. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know, he says. You know everything. It's not about what I can conjure of myself. You know everything, verse 17. You know that I love you. It's no longer I know, I will, I can do. It's what you know you can do. You know it, Jesus. You see my heart. Here I am, I'm bare, I'm open. You can see it. It's nothing what I can do or produce in and of myself. And so Jesus says, follow me. Twice he says it, follow me. Love for Jesus is characterized by humility, dependence, and obedience. Peter, pre this whole scenario, had lots of passion, didn't he? But he wasn't too open, he wasn't too humble. And this whole scenario puts those two things together, the passion and the humility. And Peter learned it. He learned it well. He even addresses in his letter to some churches in 1 Peter 5. It says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not lording it over those who entrust, who are over those entrusted to you, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, when Jesus appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. So we're going to transition into celebrating communion together, but I want us to think about that question. Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Will you stand with me? Lord, thank you for your persistence with us. Thank you that you know all things. And we stand here together as a community, one under you. On the same level, on the same ground. You see, Lord. You see. And you know, you see more than we see, you know more than we know. You see down right into our very hearts, the very core of our being, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you would speak now to us. Holy Spirit, come. And blow away the fog. For those of us, Lord, who are numb, those of us, Lord, who have big questions, kind of wandering in a daze, going through our life, just going through the motions, Lord, would you come? Bring clarity, cut to our hearts, Lord. We want to say, yes, Lord, we love you. Lord, would you show us now the things that are keeping us from you? Just encourage you, just as in preparation for celebrating communion, to search your heart. Search your heart as Paul exhorts us to do. Lord, we say we do love you. Come with your love and melt away our resistances. Come with your spirit and bring clarity. Fill us, Lord, with passion and humility. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my death until I come." So encourage you when you're ready, and there's lots of time, we're just going to informally end here, but or there won't be a specific time, but when you're ready, just come up and receive the elements. And you can stay up here, you can go back to your seats, you can come with someone and do it with your family or friends, or find someone that you want to celebrate together, or you can sit there in your seat alone, whatever you'd like. Since we have an extra aisle here, why don't we come up the center and then out the side aisles, okay? So when you're ready, and we're just going to worship, we're going to pray together, we're just going to be together as the Holy Spirit blows on us and blows the fog and helps us to be real with ourselves. So bless you.